anyone can make a change. The fear they have the will.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of AHA Presents About Education. I'm Neil Kreisel and I'm your host every week right here on AM 1290. Repeated at 10, and on Saturdays at 4. We're brought to you by Deckers, makers of Uggs and Hokas, Pierre LaFon Wendy Foster, offering fine clothes, good food, and vintage wines, Montecito Bank and Trust, proudly serving our communities and their financial needs for over 40 years, Habitat for Humanity, building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter, and CSU Channel Islands. No matter which of their academic programs you choose, you will be at the center of your educational experience. And speaking of our sponsors, if you were in Montecito this weekend, you would have seen a bunch of people walking around with Habitat for Humanity t-shirts as they volunteered for the Montecito Bucket Parade, helping to clean up the mud flow mess in Montecito. So hats off to Habitat for Humanity. We have a really great guest today, Lori Lease, who's Executive Director of Boys and Girls Clubs of Santa Barbara. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you for finally getting here. We had Lori booked twice, both first before the fire and then after the mud flow. So I feel, and then it started to rain today. And I said, uh-oh, maybe we're going to have to cancel again. But it was a light rain. So that's good.
I won't take it personal.
So before we start, you know, we have the Boys Club, the Girls Club, Girls Inc., and we have the Boys and Girls Club. So can you just like give us a little roadmap?
So the Boys and Girls Club of Santa Barbara was started 80 years ago. This year is our 80th celebration, and it was started by a group of firemen, and subsequently, since we're talking about the fires, and they saw a need of some young boys were kind of hanging out in the neighborhood, didn't really have after-school activities to do. So the old firehouse that's over on Haley Street was actually our first Boys and Girls Club in all of the county. So pretty amazing. We had 10 boys start, and they called it the McKinley Club. And ever since then, it's progressed where we are right now. The building was slated to get built, but then World War II happened, so it took a little hiatus, but it was still planned. And in 1947, where our club is today on Canna Perdido Street, right across from the high school, is where we are. So we've been in that building since 1947.
And when did girls become involved?
Well, we decided to get smart in the 90s. So in 1996, if you can believe that, then we decided to add the girls. And then now it's a more collective, cohesive group. I really like, I grew up here. I was born in Santa Barbara, and I went to Girls Inc. And I love Girls Inc. It's great. It's the programs. But I see a different side of having the boys and girls together. We have specific groups that just are catered to boys and catered to girls. But the whole collective, I personally like that the girls and boys play sports together. I think that's cool. They don't have that in the high schools. But at our club for the league sports, they get to play together. And I like that competitive edge.
So. And what's the age group?
6 to 18.
Okay. So is there any friendly competition between the Boys Club, between Girls Inc. and Boys and Girls Clubs?
I don't think so. I've been in a nonprofit community for 20 plus years here in Santa Barbara. And I think all of us, I think if you're in the nonprofit sector, you have a special sense about you that you're there to help. You're there to help the community. And collectively, I think all of us CEOs kind of look at each other and go, oh, you're doing great work. And we know how difficult it is, you know, to run a nonprofit in these days. So kind of have like a little clan together.
Well, you know, it's interesting. This show is called AHA Presents About Education. And AHA is a group that is dedicated to helping teens become productive members of society and happy. And when I look at the things that you do, it's really tracks that that worldview. You are not only focused on what other groups do, which is to have a place for kids to play and keep out of trouble, you have some really interesting programs. Mm-hmm. One of which I find interesting because I did the same thing with AHA, which is your building the gap, bridging the gap program, which is teaching finance.
Yeah. So it's actually Montecito Bank and Trust. Yay, MBNT.
One of our sponsors.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. No, thank them.
They have this incredible financial literacy program, and Brianna that runs it is coming. She's actually starting this week. Because we had the same thing with me coming in here. We had some stuff because of the fires. But it has three separate programs, and one of them's, I mean, it's just so much common sense in financial literacy, like how to purchase a car, I mean, we kind of take it for granted that, you know, an 18 or 19-year-old knows how to purchase a car. But if they don't have that parenting aspect to kind of guide them through the finance, you walk in there and they're like, hey, no money down and, you know, interest rates. And, and it's a lot. It's a stack of papers. And when they come to find out that that $20,000 car is actually a $45,000 car by the time they pay it off. So this one of the programs that she does is helps them buy a car. So they go through this whole scenario of buying a car, what interest rates are and charges. And I love it. It's beautiful.
Well, you know, we've been saying for years that Montecito Bank and Trust is really one of the great assets to this community, not simply as a great commercial bank, but also as a place where the community can look for help for really worthy things. And what I find interesting about this program, and I've taught this at AHA, financial literacy. I used to teach at City College, and I felt that it was important to teach financial literacy. And the academic studies that have come out in the last 2-3 years about this these programs is that they don't work. And they don't work because they're taught in a non-intuitive way. And what I like about what Montecito Bank and Trust does, they teach practical they teach about practical problems and how to deal with it. You know, if you tell a kid, as I tried in my first time that I taught, which was not exactly a success story, how important it is to have a good, a proper discount rate to get the net present value of money, you know, they're looking to when they can play a video game. But if you tell them that if you put this dollar away and not buy a Starbucks, and then in X number of years you'll have the ability to buy a house, and you explain to them why, you can see the lights beginning to light up. So kudos to both you and Montecito Bank and Trust for doing this. The other thing that you do, and again, I don't see this with other groups, is you have sort of a holistic approach to these kids, from teaching them about finance and keeping them out of trouble at night. So you have a teen late night program?
Yeah. So it goes till 10 at night. And last Friday, I think the kids played, or the Friday before, they just played board games. I mean, what a simple concept, right? But sometimes these families don't have things that we take for granted, access to common board games, or parents, you know, that are home because maybe they're working two jobs and they're not home on a Friday night to sit there and play a board game with your kids. So the kids all gathered in. We sometimes have up to 50 teens, and they got out all our board games in the library and just sat and played board games. And Monopoly, I guess, was pretty popular.
You know, I'm a little bit older than the age group that could go to Boys and Girls Club. But I remember when I was a teenager, the most pressing problem was finding a place to hang out.
Yep.
And I lived in New York, which was cold. So it wasn't about, you know, finding a nice place to stand outside. And so giving kids a safe place is clearly just forget the games is really an important thing that you do. You also are focused on leadership, and the Keystone Club is a leadership club for teens. Tell us about that.
So what it is they have various volunteer projects that they do over the course of the school year when they sign up at the beginning of the year. And it kind of focuses on, instead of just randomly going to volunteer at certain places, it's more of a collective effort, you know, of about, we have about 15 that are more members than that, but 15 that actively do stuff. So when we have a volunteer project or a neighbor that needs help, or a cleanup project. Just recently, one of the stores in Montecito that was needed some help moving boxes and things like that was on Coast Village Road, the teens in our van went over and helped her pack up some stuff and move some stuff for her back in. So that was great. Things like that they do.
And they get community service credit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Available only at the company's headquarters in Goleta, the new Deckers brand showcase features the latest footwear from UGG, Teva, Sanuk, Hoka, and Ahnu brands. You're invited to stop by to experience firsthand what makes Deckers brand so unique. Discover new product and try on a range of offerings from your favorite Deckers brand at their retail stores. Now open to the public 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, and from 11 to 5 on Sunday at 250 Coramar Drive in Goleta.
Celebrating 50 years of serving loyal regular guests and first-time visitors, the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli invites you to enjoy their huge selection of fresh-baked sweets, cookies, carrot cake, muffins, and the famous farm cake, granola, Oreo popcorn, wine cake, homemade soups, and the popular fresh juice bar. Or get a coffee drink or fresh-squeezed juice and peruse the famous wall of greeting cards at the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli. Open 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
What's that?
This? The newest online business banking around.
Can you initiate wires and approve transfers?
Yes.
Pay bills?
Check.
Cash management?
Of course.
All business, all online, all on your phone.
You bet. My computer, too. It's Montecito Bank and Trust's new business online banking. It works as hard as I do.
Huh. Montecito Bank and Trust.
You got it. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, using innovative social-emotional learning and character building to help teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Lori Leese, Executive Director of Boys and Girls Club of Santa Barbara. And one of the things that AHA is really focused on is helping kids learn not just, you know, math and science can be taught at schools, but emotional intelligence. You know, it's really important to have kids that are able to function in the real world. And your mission statement says to inspire and enable all young people, especially those who need us the most, to reach their full potential as productive, caring, and responsible citizens. So interesting, you have the three adjectives, you know, productive, caring, and responsible. There are a lot of people that would just look at the productive one and not look at the second two, which is what really AHA kind of focuses on, which is great. So how do you do that? How do you get kids to develop empathy if they don't have it, to care about other people?
I like to tell people that we're not just their second home. We are a home for some of these kids. Things that we take for granted, our parents being home at night, having a family dinner, things like that. Some of these kids, you know, they don't get to go home to that. So providing access, providing a caring environment that we know the kids' names. Do you have homework? Oh, I remember it's your birthday. Things like that makes us different. And we're talking generations of this. So we've have great grandparents that went to our club. Their grandkids went, you know, younger generations. And we have little kids that aren't even six yet. And they come to the club. And I'm not joking. It was like my first month there. It was going to be his birthday the next day. And as his birthday present, they came and signed him up for a club membership. Like, to me, like, I could have been in tears all day. I was like, okay, that's why I'm here, you know, to help those kids that need us the most. Yeah.
And is there a tuition?
So it's $40 a year, and that's unlimited, you know, after-school care. We have one-on-one math tutoring, homework help, computer access. There's no extra charges in that. Any days, like, the schools are closed, full days, that's included. Like, so this Friday, the schools are closed, so we're open. So basically, it's 16 cents a day.
So yeah. One of the things that AHA has had trouble with, and, you know, initially it was difficult for me to understand, but now I do understand that some parents were resistant to the teens going to the after-school AHA program because they'd rather them go to work. And so, yeah. I don't know if you had that sort of dilemma where your parents sometimes don't understand how important it is for the social education as opposed to, you know, working at McDonald's.
I think that quite a bit of our teens do work, you know, but they'll go to the club for a little bit and then they'll go work after. But I do see that resistance. But, you know, when you're a family living paycheck to paycheck, you know, that job means a lot to that family. So I get where they're coming from. But then I think because we've created this family-like environment at our club, I think they understand the importance that that club has been. I mean, we're going 80 years strong and know that we really care about those kids, and we want to give those kids every opportunity and open all the doors for them.
You look great, you know, for 80 years strong.
Whatever
it is that you're doing. What about transportation? You say it's $40 a year. What if they don't have a means of getting there?
We have free transportation to all our local schools. So the vans go and pick up from Cleveland, Adelante, and Franklin School. We also have a school bus that comes from Roosevelt.
So. And how many kids do you serve each year?
Last year, we served 1,726 kids.
Wow.
That was members and community impact outreach with sports and stuff like that, about 21, 25.
How about diversity?
I would say predominantly we probably serve low-income Hispanic families, probably like 80%, maybe 85. Yeah.
And the staff is multilingual?
Yep. Most of our staff is bilingual. And some of our kids that grew up in the club now work at the club. So.
And one of the things that, you know, we've had every superintendent on, every school principal. This show's been on for almost 5 years. And one of the challenges that everyone who is involved with the school system in Santa Barbara, probably for the school system in the country, is finding a way to even the playing field, not in the traditional sense in school between different economic and socioeconomic groups, but to get people to understand each other and to get along with each other and respect each other. Is the irony that you have 80% one group, does that make it more difficult to achieve that sort of transparency between I don't care what you are or how much money you have, we can get along? I know it's sort of a catch-22. Here you have these kids that need help, but mm-hmm. then you're putting them all together as a homogeneous group.
I don't see it like that. I see that our club is very unique and special, and we offer opportunities that any other after-school program has, like one-on-one math tutoring. We got a grant for an endowment, and it pays for a one-on-one math tutor. So you can sign up to have one-on-one math tutoring for free at our club, you know, 5 days a week. To me, I think everybody should have that, you know, but they don't. So at our club, we try to make access that any other after school, whether it's from a wealthy community or a poor community, whatever they have, we're going to have too.
And it's not just the after school. Do you do weekend stuff too?
Well, it's sports. So the kids play on Saturdays and they play sports.
And how big a staff do you have?
I have 17 staff members.
So it's a big organization?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And you have, how's your board, by the way? They won't listen to the show. Just tell us the truth.
I have a great board. I do. I have a great board. They're very supportive. They're very caring. I have one member that's been on our board 25 years, and Tim. Hi, Tim. And, it's great. It's just, they believe in the mission. They believe in helping these kids and providing access to them. Yeah.
Yeah, I know a couple of board members, and they speak very passionately about it, particularly those that have been through the program.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I know people that have gone through these programs and, you know, 50 years ago, and
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
it made a real difference in their lives, and that's why they want to give back specifically to this.
Yeah.
So I guess you don't need to fundraise because you're so successful, right? Is that true? Or do you?
I wish that were so. I get to leave at 5 every day instead of 8.
So do you have events, fundraising events?
Yes, we do. And we have one big gala year. And this year it's on Saturday, May 12th at Heartstone Ranch in Carpinteria. And it's a big one because we're celebrating 80 years. So you can check us out online, ask for information. So we'd love as many people as we can attend.
And that's the website is a place that you can also donate without
mm-hmm.
having to go
yes.
to the thing.
Yes, yes. You can go on our website, yeah,
when
and donate.
I remember when I was at the age where my kids had friends who were either being, you know, sweet 16 or bar mitzvah or whatever, when I would say to the parents, how much gift is appropriate if I do go, and how much more can I give if I don't go?
Yeah. And that works for me. You know, if you don't want to go, you can just donate money. That works.
Actually, these kind of events are really inspiring. So that's not true. You see these kids that are really terrific. And yeah. I think that it gives you an opportunity to showcase what you've done with these kids.
We have Notes for Notes. So the original studio is at our club, and it's a music program that's free. You can come record music, lessons, things like that. And they have this incredible jazz band called the Jazz Villains. And it's all high school students, and they're going to be playing this year at our gala again. They played last year, and they're quite phenomenal. You just kind of pinch yourself, and you're like, they're not in high school. Are they really in high school? It's quite remarkable, yeah.
And can you volunteer if you don't have money? Is there a place to volunteer?
Yes, we always need, you know, we have on average about 200 kids a day. We have this program called Power Hour. So the whole club shuts down, and for an hour, they have to do homework. So whether they're getting help with their math, doing reading, language arts, you know, any kind of things, we have a computer-generated program called Front Row that they can do academic computer work on that. And we always need help with tutors because some of these kids are one or two grades below where they're supposed to be. And just that one-on-one reading or that one-on-one helping them with their flashcards or their math is really important.
We've had several guests, including last week from CSU Channel Islands, one of our sponsors, two professors, and they were talking about a flip program where the kids do homework in class and they study lectures at home because homework is more important and more difficult to do at home because no one is there to help you. Mm-hmm. So the process of doing homework is really critical. That's mm-hmm. where the kids find out what they know and what they don't know, and yeah. they need people. There's no one to ask at home.
I think that's what it is. They don't get the homework help they can. And whether the parent's working or not, it's not, you know, the parent's fault. It's just, you know, reading, you know, when you're just an early reader, it's very difficult unless you're going through line by line and, you know, enunciating the words and stuff. So,
how about food? You know, one of the problems that schools have, you can't educate someone that doesn't have food in their stomach or protein.
Yeah.
I would imagine some of these kids come to the after school program hungry.
So they do. We're part of the state nutrition program. So we provide a healthy snack or a supper when the schools are closed or a lunch. We're working with the school district. So we are part of their supper program where their truck comes by close to 5 o'clock so they can have dinner before they go home. But then at 3 o'clock, at 2:45, we provide a healthy snack. So usually like fruit, granola, yogurts, bagels, you know, something like that.
Yeah, that's great because, I hate to get into politics because I get into trouble, but, you know, if you look at the budget that was released yesterday, they're cutting back on food programs.
I know.
And it's just unbelievable.
They say that one of their
objectives is education. How do you educate someone who's hungry?
You can. I worked in a second grade classroom over in Carpinteria, and people don't realize that some of these kids, you know, the families can only afford one meal a day. So breakfast is not, you know, they know they're going to come to school and they'll get a snack at school and get a lunch. And I don't think that people get that we would be doing testing and some of these kids had not eaten breakfast, half of our class. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, all they have to do is to realize that. And I wish some of those people who are on the other side of the political aisle give up their breakfast and lunch. And then at 3 o'clock, try to read a book.
It would be
a good experiment.
I agree.
It's pretty nasty.
Yeah.
What makes you drive home and feel depressed about your job? It sounds like everything's great, but is there something that, you know, you get into the car and you say, oh, I can't believe that kid or that thing happened?
I think I don't get suppressed. I just get frustrated, like I'm not doing enough. Like, how can I help this family? You know, I've now that I've been working there, I get to hear the stories, and it'll just break your heart of the homeless young mom with three kids that doesn't have access. It's living in a motel on the waiting list for transition house, and her two girls are going to the Boys and Girls Club, and you just like, what can I do for this family? Like, how can I help? You know, and I think I get more sad, I think, that, you know, that's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, it's if you really go out there and look at what the world is like, not what's like around you, you really become a much more compassionate citizen. You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station. We'll be right back.
Bye. Founded by a UCSB grad, Deckers Brands has grown into a global driver of lifestyle footwear. From humble beginnings in 1973, Santa Barbara has been a key element of the business, defining the company's culture, providing home base for many employees, and inspiring product innovation each year. For a first-hand experience, stop by the Deckers Brands headquarters in Goleta, 250 Coromar Drive, from 10 to 7, Monday through Saturday, 11 to 5 Sunday, and shop their new brand showcase retail test lab. Guaranteed, you'll see a new side to Deckers' portfolio, from footwear to handbags to home furnishings.
You're invited to dine indoors or on the secluded garden patio, the sunny patio, or the covered creekside patio with fireplace at Pierre Lafond's Montecito Wine Bistro, where you'll enjoy the popular pizzas and many other dishes from the wood-burning oven, daily specials from Chef Victor, and selections from the elevated wine menu featuring Lafond and Santa Barbara Winery wines. Open daily at 11 for lunch, wine, cocktails, dinner, incredible desserts, and a daily happy hour from 3 to 6 with very unique appetizers, in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
The Central Coast may seem laid back, but when it's time to work, no one works harder, including the bank that's grown up here. Montecito Bank and Trust offers customized lending and banking for all businesses, big and small. It's harder than offering one-size-fits-all solutions, but it's the right thing to do. And here, getting things right is a way of life. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, improving attitude, creating social harmony, bridging the achievement gap for teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Lori Lease, Executive Director of the Boys and Girls Club of Santa Barbara. The club is now celebrating its 80th year, and I understand you were not there at the beginning. So where did you come from? You said before you were a native California.
Yeah, I was born in Santa Barbara over at Cottage, and I grew up here. My grandmother was actually born here.
So that means you're actually
third generation.
And that qualifies you to be a native? Because I understand.
I don't know. Can I be on that float? I've always wanted to be on
the
native.
No, I thought it was four generations. You may have missed it. I think it's got to, you know, I said I've been here 19 years. I'm a native. And people just scuffed. That's, yeah. You know. So you're obviously a compassionate person who is well-spoken, intelligent. You know, you could do anything. You're doing something that is really helping these kids. Tell us about how you got interested in dedicating your life to helping people. What was your education like?
I grew up here, so I went to City College and went to UCSB. I was a history major and feminist studies major. I think the feminist studies side really opened up my eyes a little wider than just really see the inequities going on and limited access for certain populations, and it really drove me. So that's kind of my passion there.
What did you do before you took over Boys and Girls Club?
I was the executive director for Reins of Hope.
Which is?
It's equine-assisted psychotherapy. So picture what you do at AHA, but we do it with horses.
I think it's one of the great things. My first grandchild who died last year because she was really sick, the most beneficial therapy that she had during her short life was that.
Mm-hmm.
It is fantastic.
Yeah.
What I found amazing is she had difficulty walking and no balance. And when she got on a horse, even without instruction, she sat up straight.
Yeah,
it was just like the first time. There's something about horses that are, and the people who worked there were fantastic. It's a great, great, great organization.
Yeah, it's truly remarkable. Well, we like to say, and I'm on the board still for Reins of Hope, we like to say horses don't judge and they don't label. So think about that.
But they do throw you off if you don't know what you're doing.
Now, we don't ride. So at Reins of Hope, we don't ride. So you do the therapy session inside with the arena working. It's experiential therapy. Yeah.
So, and then what happened after you left?
After I left Reigns of Hope, I came to Boys and Girls Club.
Oh, yeah. So.
Yeah. And before that, I used to be the executive director of the Police Activities League in Santa Barbara. Another great organization. I just love that organization.
Yeah, we just had Michelle Myring on.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. That's part of the competition, right?
No, it's all good. My grandfather was a police officer, so I think what they're doing is great. I love the whole mentoring program that they have specifically for teens there. It's great.
And what's Sarah House?
Sarah House is an end-of-life care for low-income individuals in town or people with means that can't afford, you know, the assisted living as they die. I unfortunately lost my father 5 years ago. Oh, my gosh, it'll be in March next month. And I was fortunate enough to, I was a single mom, two kids in a two-bedroom apartment, going to law school, and my dad shows up and find out he has stage 4 cancer. So the counselors at hospice, they're just wonderful people, said, there's this great place called Sarah House, and you might want to look into it. So got my dad over there. He visited with one of the counselors, and that organization just changed our lives, our family's lives. You know, taking care of somebody that's that ill, you know, it gets debilitating where you can't do things that you want to do. And they have your own little apartment there. They have 24-hour care, and it's the most amazing, special place. Oh. So I'm on the board there. So
you are on boards and work for things that, what we say in New York, Kishka Grippers, which is where you really, I got to look, that's Yiddish for, you know, it grabs you by the insides. That's so, you know, yeah. Emotionally mm-hmm. jarring. Yeah. So you have a lot of obviously empathy and compassion. One of the things that I find so distressing is that no matter what economic bracket you're in, what your situation is, people still bully. And one of the things that AHA is really dedicated to doing is trying to stop bullying and do it in a productive way that addresses the bullier. You know, what makes that person do mm-hmm. that? How do you deal with bullying at the club?
We have zero tolerance. So we work things out. Calm comes once a week. We have a program called Girls Rule. So we have a young girls group that gets kind of some extra support. And we have the Torch Club. So that's our young preteen kind of before they go into Keystone group. And that's a mentoring program too, because a lot of our kids, you know, quite a few are foster kids. So they don't have that parent influence at home, maybe a grandparent or another person watching them. And I think they look for that person in their life as mentoring, how I act in life, what I'm going to do. And the Torch Club is great. One of the guys that runs it went to the club, and he grew up, lost his father at a young age, and the club was like his second home, his family for him. And now he works for us, and he's running the Torch Club, and he's like the Pied Piper of kids. He comes in, he calls himself the Director of Humor. So he's officially the Director of Humor at our club.
What do you do about a kid who, you know, seems to lack empathy and does bully? Do you deal with restorative justice types of approaches where you try to help the child understand the harm that he or she is doing, as opposed to just saying we have zero tolerance? I mean, how do you address somebody that, whatever reason, is taking out on somebody else, whatever frustrations they have?
Yeah. We have about three of our key staff that embrace that mentoring thing. So they sign them up for the Torch Club, or they're part of the Keystone group. And then we refer some of our families to Calm if they need that extra support. We just started doing our horse therapy this month at the club. So Reigns of Hope is coming twice a month and doing two-hour sessions every other week for a girls' group and boys' group. Uh-huh. So.
And cell phones are off limits during?
Yes, yeah. They have to put them in their backpacks. Yeah.
Because one of the things that makes bullying so insidious these days is that it takes place on a different platform than it was when I was bullied.
Yeah, I know. We really, I think everybody knows, all my staff knows the kids. So they know what's going on. And there's definitely a sense of trust that is there. And you were mentioning social justice, too. We just implemented a teen legal clinic at our club. So it just started. It actually starts today, this afternoon. So it's access. So if you have any legal questions, or like you were saying, like you're being bullied, you're afraid to tell somebody, it's confidential and nobody knows. So they can go in there, and one of the ladies that runs it is quite remarkable. So
that's
we're excited
great.
To start that program. Yeah.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Founded by a UCSB grad, Deckers Brands has grown into a global driver of lifestyle footwear. From humble beginnings in 1973, Santa Barbara has been a key element of the business, defining the company's culture, providing home base for many employees, and inspiring product innovation each year. For a first-hand experience, stop by the Deckers Brands headquarters in Goleta, 250 Coromar Drive, from 10 to 7, Monday through Saturday, 11 to 5 Sunday, and shop their new brand showcase retail test lab. Guaranteed, you'll see a new side to Deckers' portfolio, from footwear to handbags to home furnishings.
In 1962, Pierre Lafond founded the first post-prohibition commercial winery in Santa Barbara County. In 1972, he planted his first vineyard in the San Ynez Valley west of Buellton, and later hired legendary winemaker Bruce McGuire to continue to build on the stellar reputation that Santa Barbara Winery has achieved for more than 50 years. Today, you're invited to experience the award-winning wines at Santa Barbara Winery at the corner of Yananali and Anacapa, and the Lafond Winery at 6855 Santa Rosa Road in Buellton.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
What's that?
This? The newest online business banking around.
Can you initiate wires and approve transfers?
Yes.
Pay bills?
Check.
Cash management?
Of course.
All business, all online, all on your phone.
You bet. My computer, too. It's Montecito Bank and Trust's new business online banking. It works as hard as I do.
Huh. Montecito Bank and Trust.
You got it. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, helping teens achieve goals, surmount challenges, stop bullying, and communicate and listen effectively. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Lori Leese, Executive Director of Boys and Girls Club of Santa Barbara. And before the break, we were talking about a new program that began today, mm-hmm. which gives advice to kids. I guess you call it a legal...
Yeah, it's the Teen Legal Clinic, and it's part of our bigger program that we started last year. We got a small grant from the Santa Barbara Foundation when the whole DACA thing was coming up, and we had kids that were afraid. And they reached out to us, and I said, So we started this thing called We Dream Workshops, and we were going strong, but then the fires came and, you know, we had to take a hiatus for a couple months. So we're back on and we're kind of waiting to see what happens. But we have this whole support system in our club. So we have a teen legal clinic. We have somebody from the community that comes and helps the families on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 6 o'clock. And it's an open conversation and open dialogue in Spanish. And then we have our We Dream workshops that are information workshops of the latest what's going on for your rights as far as rights for families and for the kids.
So one of the big things today, and you mentioned that you studied in college feminism. Yeah. And you know, it's sort of ironic that here we are years later, and it's still a big issue. If you look at the Me Too phenomenon, and you go back and look at some of the posts that women have posted, a lot of the abuse is not about their second marriage. It starts when they're kids. Mm-hmm. So what, if anything, are you able to do to help kids who have issues? Let's first take the girls.
So the first thing I did was, one of the first things I did was start a girls empowerment group. So we have a younger group called Girls Rule, and that's for ages like probably 7 to 9, maybe 10. And then the girls empowerment group is a teen girls group specifically for, we have one of our teen staff Leslie that's been running it, and Caitlin, and they do specific activities with the girls. And what stemmed out of it is some great things that we forget about, cooking and basic stuff that, you know, girls might want to do and hang out together. So we started a culinary club. We have a local chef that volunteers his time and buys the food. His name is Jason Banks. Yay, Jason. And he comes every other week and brings these girls in and teaches them, say you only have $10 to buy dinner, okay? You look at home and you're like, what am I going to make with this $10, you know? He teaches them low-cost meals, gourmet meals that you can make, you know, under $20 or under $10 and less. And it's, I mean, it's crazy. Yeah. Yeah, I know, right?
It's not going to be necessary. The new budget says they're going to give people who need food a box of food.
Okay, so don't get me started.
So you're not going to need that anymore.
I don't need that anymore. Yeah, but it's really great. The week before, they made homemade jams and jellies. So you have a fruit tree in your backyard. You have all this fruit that comes all at once, and he was teaching them how basic, you know, sugar, basic things that you could do to make homemade jelly. Yeah.
But what about female empowerment? How do you give kids a sense that they can stand up for themselves in an abusive situation? What is appropriate?
I think for us at the club, it's the whole sense. You know, it is a safe place to come. It's a mentoring program. It's a team program. But there's also a family support that goes on there, that we get to know the kids, get to know what's going on. And if they need help, they can go to one of our mentors that are within our program and get help. And then we also have our counseling services. You know, I think Reins of Hope is going to add that extra level. It's specific. One of the groups is for our teen girls, so they can open up and share in a therapy session what actually is going on, if they need help or things like that.
And because you're a co-ed group, I would imagine there's an opportunity here to help boys understand mm-hmm. how they should behave with girls.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the problems in society, which I can't believe we're still talking about, is that boys don't know how to behave. And men don't know how to behave, not just boys.
Yeah. We have this great program called Passport to Manhood, and it's been going on quite a while. And it's a national Boys and Girls Club of America. And it just what you're talking about. It teaches life skills for young men, you know, how to behave, empathy, compassion, things like that.
And how does that message... I mean, this is a loaded question, and there's no answer to it, but it just really bothers me. You know, people like you are doing such wonderful work, and how do you think it plays against what people see on the news? You know, we're talking about compassion, we're talking about standing up for your rights, and you see the news today where you've got so many people in power that are just interested in themselves. David Brooks, who's one of the number one columnists for the New York Times, wrote an incredible piece yesterday where he said the country used to be a place of inclusiveness where everybody benefits if everybody puts together an effort to make the country better. And now, in the last 15 years, we're at a place where everyone is competitive. Everyone feels that if someone else gets something, then they're not going to get enough. And, you know, I guess it must be really difficult to work with kids who don't have much, and then they see on the news, whether it's DACA or whether it's, you know, sort of the meanness that you see on some of our politicians, to really teach them that there's hope, that people can have empathy and succeed.
One of our girls that have been going to the club since she was six just got into Georgetown and started this last August and a full scholarship. So it happens. I think that's what's so special about this club, is opening up access. So if these kids are determined and they want to do it, we're going to give them every single opportunity that they can to get where they want. If they have a dream, we're going to fulfill it.
And what you also do is for those members of the group that have really bought into the program and have gotten, you have a Big Buddies program that's the Big Buddy is still a kid that is helping a younger kid. It's not an adult coming in.
Yeah. Yeah. So kids that have been at the club for years, you know, somebody that's new starting out, that's kind of a little Big Buddy program where you go and you mentor them and, okay, let's go play basketball. We're going to show you the ropes in the game room. And there's this whole thing going on with the pool tables and the bumper pool. And there's skills there that I probably couldn't beat any of these kids.
Right. And sort of that what goes along with that is your junior staff program, which you employ for money or just for volunteer points?
No, during the summer. So we employ high school students that are appropriate age to work, and they come and work and help us with their summer. Our summer program is a 10-week summer program. There is additional cost to that because it is full time. So it goes from 8:30. It goes from 8 to 5:30. You get breakfast, lunch, and a healthy snack, and it's. Due to we just got a grant from the Alice Tuhui Foundation and Ben Page Foundation, so it's only going to be $5 a day, which to have all these great programs and field trips is going to be remarkable for some of these kids. And scholarships, we're going to provide twice as many scholarships as we did last year.
And where do you hold it?
At the club, yeah.
Okay, so and you take them on trips?
Yep. Yep. So sometimes we go to the beach. Sometimes we go take them to the high school pool to go swimming. We have swim 3 times a week, classes, different activities. This year we haven't gone camping in a long time. And to celebrate our 80th birthday, we're going to go take the kids to Lake Achuma and go camp out and teach them some basic camping skills. Yeah.
At AHA, they've done that several times. And what I find to be amazing, it shouldn't be amazing, that for the kids, sometimes, even though they live in this area, it's the first time they've ever been in that environment.
I know. It's exciting. Well, I think I got this. We have these old photographs, I mean, dating back from when we first started. And they had this campsite. They're over at Lake Chuma, and they're sleeping on the ground in just like a little wool blanket. And they have their tent up, and they're all happy. And I went, why aren't we doing that? That's cool.
And these old pictures did Lake Achuma have water in it?
Yeah, it did. It did.
So it must have been a really valuable
it was
picture.
Remarkable.
Yeah, that's amazing. you're listening to AHA Presents About Education, and believe it or not, we'll be right back with our final segment.
For more than 20 years now, the unique landscape and people of the Santa Barbara community have helped grow Deckers brands into the lifestyle footwear leaders they are today. Newly opened at their headquarters in Goleta, the Deckers brand showcase allows you to explore and shop the UGG, Teva, Sanuk, Hoka, and Ahnu brands while you're likely to discover something new or potentially receive an in-store special offer. At 250 Coromar Drive in Goleta, the showcase is open to the public 10 a.m. to 7 Monday through Saturday and 11 to 5 on Sunday.
Celebrating 50 years of serving loyal regular guests and first-time visitors, the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli invites you to enjoy their huge selection of fresh-baked sweets, cookies, carrot cake, muffins, and the famous farm cake, granola, Oreo popcorn, wine cake, homemade soups, and the popular fresh juice bar. Or get a coffee drink or fresh-squeezed juice and peruse the famous wall of greeting cards at the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli. Open 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
The Central Coast may seem laid back, but when it's time to work, no one works harder, including the bank that's grown up here. Montecito Bank and Trust offers customized lending and banking for all businesses, big and small. It's harder than offering one-size-fits-all solutions, but it's the right thing to do. And here, getting things right is a way of life. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA helps teens manage their emotions, support their peers, and serve their community. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Lori Lease, Executive Director of Boys and Girls Club of Santa Barbara. And this is another time where I'm sorry I'm older, because I'd like to join, but I think I'm past the due date on that. You know, one of the things that makes a real difference in someone's ability to succeed at life is an education. And graduation rates for people with that have economic struggles are much less than for those of us who were lucky enough to not have to worry about where the next meal came from. So you have goals for graduation, which is mm-hmm. one of your initiatives. Tell mm-hmm. us a little bit about that.
Goals for Graduation is part of our Keystone Group. So it's a teen mentoring program. It's also to another bigger component of our tutoring program. So we have this one-on-one tutoring program that Jessica Cardona has been running. She's been there 9 years. So her success rate is 100%. All of our teens have graduated that are part of our club. And she really works one-on-one. So if anybody's struggling and says, hey, Jess, I'm not going to pass this class, and typically it's usually in math, she'll work with them and one-on-one and really get them to at least passing so they can, you know, some of us struggle in certain subjects and have some stuff. So she's really good at bringing these kids together and forming a group to get them to graduate.
Yeah. And there was a nationwide study that showed that a child who attends a Boys and Girls Club for 105 days in the same calendar year is twice as likely to graduate high school and two times as likely to lead a healthier lifestyle.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable, isn't it?
Isn't that great? Well, it's, you know, like for our club, for instance, let's take an example of our club. Some of our kids, we have 32 kids that have gone over 200 days last year. To me, that's quite remarkable. We have one kid, I think he went there every day. So I counted the numbers. I counted the days we were open, and I went, okay, he's been at our club every day. So, you know, hey, you're getting homework help. You're getting a healthy snack. You could play sports. We have soccer, basketball. You know, we have computer access. A lot of people take for granted that, you might have a computer there, but, you know, to have internet is expensive. So that's a bill each month, where some of these families don't have that. And so having internet access to do your homework, things like that, it really makes a difference in these kids' lives.
Yeah, it's amazing. When I was involved with City College, they opened the somebody gave some money to open the library on Sunday, and they thought a few people would show up, and it was jammed because so many kids didn't have a computer.
No.
Forget about the internet.
Yeah.
They don't have a computer, so they couldn't do their homework.
Yeah,
so the success of the program to get kids through school, what about the kids who don't even know they should go through school? So do you have a self-selecting, you know, you have these 30 kids that are tutored. What about the kids that don't even think that graduation is important?
I don't think we see that now, but I think on the other side is they don't really see college as an option for them, whether that costs are prohibitive or things like that. We have that great Promise program now at Santa Barbara City College, which is amazing, you know, having get to go to City College, free books, things like that. So now we're telling our teens that's not an excuse anymore. You know, you can go to City College. You can at least go there. Or, you know, I think that we forget that trade schools are really important, that kids might have a certain skill that they want to enhance or grow with. And we kind of try to develop that by bringing in community leaders that might be, you know, an electrician or a banker, things like that, that can show them a nursing. You know, quite a few of our girls want to go to nursing school. So
if you're listening to this, you cannot think of any better place to donate money. So how do
Thanks,
we do that?
Neil.
How do we go to the website? One way.
Yeah, you can go to the website. It's www.boysgirls.org. And they have, you look on there and you see all these cute pictures of kids and it says donate now. You can donate now. You can donate that way, or, you know, you can mail us a check. We love that. And if you have any questions, you can reach us. Our phone number is 962-2382.
And you can also volunteer.
And you can volunteer. We always need volunteers. We need volunteers in the art room, homework help. And don't worry, there's, you know, under fifth grade math, if you don't have access to that kind of thing, you know, we always need coaches for our sports programs. There's a whole wide variety of things you can do and volunteer at our club.
So, final question: what keeps you going?
The smiles on the little kids' faces every day, and how happy they are to come to the club. It makes my day. My office is right in front, and I see them walking through the doors, and that's my motivation.
Well, thank you so much, Lori, and you speak with incredible passion, and we're lucky to have you in town and lucky to have you with this great charity. You've been listening to AHA Presents About Education. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.